All back for another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and his Patrick's hand holding up some kind of medicine is with us today because he decided that he want to show his behind today.
This ain't somebody. Yeah. This is CBD oil. I can't. Yeah. Everything is opposite. So he's this is our sponsor for today.
He on that stuff.
Blurry. It's blurry because they ain't really our sponsor.
Pat, you telling the world you on that stuff?
I mean, I already showed y'all my pill collection. I got an extensive pill collection.
Man, let me do my intro right
over here. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Do your intro.
This is the Freedom Train podcast series. Y'all already know what it is. We don't never come out right because we don't have to. So I'm Joseph Ward, of course. He's Patrick Urban.
You know it.
We like that. We thank y'all for tuning in. It's what 2015. I look back. I think it was September of 2015 when we dropped our first show. So it's been like
no, it wasn't.
What was it?
It was October 2014. Because remember, we started on.
That's right. We got some shows we ain't even post. That's right. Yeah. So October 2014 is when we started, and we still here. It's April of 2021, and we still here rocking with the Freedom Train podcast series. And holding true to our mission, and today's podcast is another testament of us holding true to our mission. But before we get to that, of course, you know, we got to do some housekeeping. And the Freedom Train podcast is brought to you by PAX Inc., and that's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc. That way you can learn more about the organization, their codes of conduct, how to become a member, how you can donate, how you can get involved in the different initiatives they have. Also, of course, you know, my favorite part is the Learning Center with the drop-down tab and the plethora of different resources that you can use, practical resources that you can immediately use. And you can also support them in their store. You can also support PAX Inc. through the Amazon Smile Program. Now, two ways you can access the Amazon Smile Program. From the PAX Inc. website, if you click on the Amazon Smile logo, it'll take you to the Amazon Smile website, or you can type in your browser, amazonsmile.com. And when you register, it would allow you to pick an organization that you want to support. Pick PACTSINC. That way, go about doing your regular Amazon stuff. And when you purchase something, a portion of your proceeds will go to Amazon. So once again, that's PACTSINC.org. And of course, you know, go visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can see my face. That's really all you need to see. But since we like other people sometimes, you can see Pat face and then we'll delete it from the website. But also check out our other podcast, the Enigma Sept Hour, Shelby's World, the Fix Sports Podcast, Lessons from the Screen, the Featured with Cliff J the Third. And we got some new stuff coming on the horizon. Oh, yeah. On the Shoulders of Giants. I be forgetting my own thing. And of course, you know, the Freedom Train podcast series.
Freedom Train podcast series. Reading Time with PAX. That's up now.
Okay. Okay.
We got a couple couples.
We expanded.
Wine After Nine is going to be coming back. We in the process of making that work. They don't know that we in the process of making that work, but.
And we got some other surprises too.
We got a couple things coming down the pipe. Matter of fact, our host today, our guest today, I'm gonna try to very subtly, although not so subtly, because I'm ruining it right now. Try to get her to do a podcast on the network.
Hey, she might be interested. You don't even know. You might just be talking.
But
we gonna find
100%
out.
Right, we gonna find out.
So people are like, "Well, who is this young lady with that nice hair all over there?" Looking up.
That's not what they thinking because they can't see her yet, Joe.
Oh, my bad. I messed your editing tricks up.
So do we edit this part out or do we just leave it in?
You leave it in. You're going to leave it in. Oops. So I first met this young lady 1998 at one of the most illustrious high schools ever, James S. Ricketts High School, 313 Jim Lee Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32310. Right. So
That's creepy.
I know the whole address. Forget you. So we over the years been able to nurture a friendship, I've been able to watch her grow as a woman, but also grow as a human being, to grow as a leader. Yeah, so
clean that up.
No, you get your mind out of wherever you at.
Now, but you said you was able to watch her grow as a woman.
Anyway, from being able to see her with her mentorship program, and I appreciate her for bringing me in and allowing me to do my sexual education classes at her mentor program at the Dade Street Community Center, which is a community center that's in the middle of one of the communities who really need help. But she took a time out to build a program for these young ladies to give them something to help them grow. And you know what? I ran into one of the young ladies. I can't remember her name, but I ran into one of the young ladies like maybe 6 months ago. She was like, you one, I think I was in a restaurant. And she was like, you one, you the dude that came to Miss Danielle class. Yeah, I miss her, but I learned a lot from that program. So the young lady definitely was able to get a lot from the program, right? She's an author. She just released her first book, and we're going to get into that, right? She's a life coach. She's a mother. She's a graduate of Florida State University, and she's been giving her time and efforts to the Tallahassee community to try to help improve the conditions, for not just for the young ladies, but for people overall. So I want to welcome my friend, Ms. Danielle Harris, to the Freedom Chain Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you for being here. We're excited to have you up in here. And we get to talk about your book.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Pat, you know how this goes. You got the first question, man. Let's do this.
So, first question has to be, what was it like having Joe watching you? Were you freaked out at all?
He's so silly.
She's not even going to answer it, Joe.
Because it's preposterous. You crazy. Yeah, don't see. She's smart. She's not ever gonna entertain you.
Yes, yeah, I see that. She like, yeah, to the left. Keep it moving. All right. I guess I'll put on my good boy hat.
Oh yeah. And he's gonna literally put it on. Okay.
So can you tell? I remember when I think we met at Ricketts a little bit, but the first time I had real interactions with you was with the Department of Health.
Yep.
You worked for the state. And that was cool. She worked in the front part where all of the goody two shoes was and all of the people mm-hmm. that, you know, it was two groups of people. It was the people that you could see when you walked in, and then it was everybody else that they kept behind closed doors like we was those who shall not be named. I was with those people. But anyways, it was cool. It was cool. It was cool. So anyways, I don't know why I said that. But so can you tell our audience who are still, you know, we want to give them as much of an opportunity as possible to get to know you, who you are, what you're doing, what motivates you. Can you give our audience a little bit of information about not only who you are, but what really motivated you, why it's important for you to serve the community in the way that you serve?
Well, I'll first and foremost say that I'm a child of the Most High God. As Joe said, I'm a mother, I'm a youth mentor, a life coach, and the author of the best-selling book, The Remedy for Life's Journey. But it's important for me to serve the community because I was created for a purpose, and that purpose was to make a difference. So anywhere that I can assist somebody or support somebody, I'm all for giving back. So that's why it's important for me to serve the community.
Okay. Okay. So, and building upon that, like what got you interested or what got you started? What was that ignition to say, okay, I'm going to get out here and get into my community and do something.
Right. Well, I seen the need, specifically for young girls. I saw the need where young girls didn't have a lot of self-esteem. They struggle with their character. And I also struggle with those same issues as a young girl. So that's really what motivated me to want to, you know, serve my community in that capacity. So that was pretty much it.
Okay. 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 He giving but that's cool though. Giving back. But so basically you're able to see yourself and a lot of the people that you are helping.
Right. And those young girls, I was able to see myself. And I, like I said, I struggled as a teenager. So I know the feeling. I know the things that they, you know, experience and face, even though this is a totally different generation. They have so many more social pressures than we did or that I did. So I just, you know, saw the need and wanted to help. But I was also inspired by my fourth grade teacher. She was my mentor. So I wanted to be for another girl what she was to me. So that's really what inspired me.
Is it? Is, would it be fair to say that you're giving the type of assistance that you wish you had gotten at this age, or would that exactly. like not be
accurate? No, that's it. That's it. Because, you know, as a young girl, I used to always say, I wish I had somebody to, you know, to kind of guide me, you know, in the areas where I was guiding young girls. I wanted that as a young girl. So that's really what kind of pushed me into it.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, but it's noble because a lot of people see issues and they just continue to see them. They don't want to do anything about it, or they don't believe that they can do anything about it. But you was like, okay, well, I've at least had the experience of seeing somebody help me. So I know, mm-hmm. I know help is out there. And right. you decided to become a part of the change that you want to see.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So when I was reading your bio, reading through a lot of your information, one thing stuck out to me, love is the true remedy for all humanity. So what does that mean to you? What's like the origins of that quote? Like, what's like, break that down for us, please.
So first I'll just say that God is love. So when I say that love is the remedy, I'm saying that God is the remedy for everything because God created everything. So, God knows best. So anytime we have any issues that we're facing, we should go to God. So that's what I meant by that quote.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So as far as how you're presenting and how you're using your platform, how are you using your words and your platform to kind of help people really go toward that remedy, go toward love, go toward God?
And well, that's what I talk about in the book. There are intangible things to lead us to that. But really, the remedy is really inside of us. A lot of people don't recognize it, but the remedy to the things that we go through is inside of us. So that's what I, you know, talk about in the book, just those intangible things.
Okay.
Gotcha.
How old are, when did you start coming to some of these revelations about, how to help, when to help, the even with the revelation about God being love and things of that nature, I'm always interested to figure out when or at what age or what stage of development somebody comes to the conclusions that they come to, especially when they're conclusions that are like life defining, like those are that you just mentioned. So when did that happen?
Just throughout life's journey, you know, as you experience hardships and challenges and you try to, you know, understand things, sometimes you're not going to understand it. And, you know, it just comes to the point where you have to realize that God is the answer to, you know, to all of the problems that we face. So that's I'm not going to say it's like a defining moment, but I've always knew that there was a God. But as I got older, I started to understand more and more about what God is and, you know, how I possess God as a being.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Now that's possess God as a being.
Hallelujah.
That sounds like something you would say, Joe. No, I don't. No, I don't.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But no, but it's when you come to a realization within yourself, especially when you're trying to get from point A to point B,
mm-hmm.
you got to be real with yourself at this point, seeing where you are and then seeing where you want to be once again. And so what am I actually doing? What am I literally doing on a regular basis to make sure I get to where I'm going? Or am I just sitting here yelling and talking and just complaining about it?
Right. Yeah. You got to be real with yourself, though.
Mm-hmm.
So how was you able to really be real with yourself? Like, what was the thing to say, all right, Danielle, like, because you acknowledge, okay, you realize you have God within you, but what was the thing that you had to be real with yourself? I know it's within me, but I'm going to utilize the God within me.
Right. Trying to do it on my own, that's what really kind of that defining moment that got me to that point, trying to do it on my own and it not working. And when I say doing it on my own, just trying to understand it from my intellect versus, you know, God, you know, God is wisdom. So he knows all. So, you know, sometimes it's best to not try to understand things. Sometimes you just have to accept life and situation as they come, you know, because you can drive yourself crazy trying to, you know, figure everything out. So I would say that's kind of what drives me to that point. Just, you know, just trusting God, really.
Right. Oh, we know about trying to do stuff on your own.
Right.
It ain't fun. It ain't fun. Ain't that right, Pat? Remember that time you tried to podcast by yourself and then you realized that you needed me?
I do a podcast by myself.
What's the name of it? Never mind. Not right now. Okay, next question.
Well, where you took that was a lot better than where I was going to take it. So,
I want to ask this question, but I want to make sure I ask it in a different manner, because you told us what inspired you to work with people in the capacity of being a mentor. So, but from the actual technical aspect of setting up the program, finding a space, being able to recruit young ladies, like, what was that process like from the moment being a mentor and having a program? Was an idea to making it a realization? Like, can you take us through the steps on how to make that happen?
Right. So I pretty much came up with a plan, like my objective for the program. And my objective for the program was to pretty much just boost their self-esteem, work on their character, and, you know, kind of push them into having leadership skills. But once I came up with the plan and the objectives, I reached out to the local recreational managers in Tallahassee, and I asked them, could I, you know, use their facility? And they said I could. They were, you know, all for the mission of the program, and I just got started. But as far as recruiting the girls, when I initially started in 2013, it was during the summertime, so I was able to get a lot of the girls that were going to the summer camp at the particular recreational center that I was going to. But the last few years, I got a lot of my girls from the Urban League. They used to work with young girls, so I kind of partnered with them, and they kind of got me the girls that I had in 2017.
Okay. And so you started in 2013?
Yeah, I initially started in 2013. And okay. I started at Jack McClain.
Okay. And so for those who don't know, in Tallahassee, the Jack McClain Recreational Center is on the opposite side of town as the Dade Street Recreational Center. And that's when she was at Dade Street, that's when I was able to go and do classes with her. So how did it transition from one side being at Jack McClain to Dade Street?
The recreational managers changed. So when I tried to come back the following year, they didn't want to let me do the program there. They was kind of skeptical about it. So I went to different locations, and a lot of the other locations, they were like, no, we don't need that right now. But that's how I ended up at Dade Street.
So persistent.
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of people would have just said, all right, I guess I'm not doing it no more.
Right.
But that's messed up. They told you couldn't come back.
Yeah, because I guess the recreational manager, they changed. So I guess that person, she was just coming in. I guess she felt like she didn't know me well enough. And I guess they didn't talk to the previous manager. I'm not sure. But yeah, they were like, no, I guess they just didn't know what I was about. I guess they didn't want, you know, me to be sharing anything that would kind of, you know, I'm saying, put them in a bad situation with the girls. But I understand it to a certain extent, but.
It is what it is.
That's what I mean. Why I understand it, you know, can't change it.
Yeah, that's crazy, but yeah.
We could change you, wreck lady, though. Next time this happen, you're going to have to C-bop me. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? Bars on them. All right, I'm done.
And I will say that when I did get to Dade Street, if I'm not mistaken, I think the man that was originally at Jack McClain, he moved to Dade Street. So.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Nah, because it's just, you know, when you said it, I'm like, hold up. Because I didn't know you were at Jack McClain originally.
Yeah, initially, yeah. That's where I originally started out at.
Okay. Now, and another thing that's kind of sad, though, is I've seen a lot of mentorship programs phase out because of what you went through with that. The people who manage the facilities, they're either changed and the person coming in don't want to do it, or they may have external pressure. They just like, I don't feel like dealing with this no more.
So, yeah.
And it's almost like, yeah, forget these kids. But then on the other end, be like, well, the kids are our future, but forget these kids when it comes to real work.
Right.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's that people want to help the kids, but they want to help the kids like the way they want to do it. And if they didn't have a hand in bringing something in, they don't necessarily want it to be there. Because it's about them more so than it's about the kids. But that's neither here nor there. I'm a cynic and I don't like people very much. So I'm always finding new ways to think about how evil and sinister people are. And that might be what just happened. Y'all pray for me.
Hey, it's all good.
These aspirin still smell like vinegar and I'm going to smell them again.
He got issues. Yeah. He got issues. But our viewers know it by now. So they know. He's special. So from mentoring to now life coaching. Now that's something I learned new about you. I didn't know you was a life coach. So I know I had my life coach certification. I forgot what year. Pat, did you have yours?
Did I have mine when?
Like, did you have a life coach certification?
Yeah, I'm a certified master life coach.
Okay, right?
It's crazy, right? I don't seem like it, do I? I seem like I would mess somebody's life up. And I would. I would royally mess your life up. I would.
That's what make you a master.
That right, knowing when you see a regular asshole can make you feel bad. A special asshole can make you feel bad at the right moment to elicit a change in behavior for the better or the worse at the pure discretion of said asshole. That's me.
And when you go on your tour, make sure you're gonna leave with that. But
this ain't about me, Joe. This is about her.
Right. So, but I wanted to say that because we understand, like you and I understand what goes into becoming a life coach, but not a lot of people understand it. Also, a lot of people don't understand fully what a life coach is. They have an idea what a life coach is, but a lot of times it could get construed with a psychologist or a therapist or something like that. So could you tell us it's kind of three parts. How did you get into life coaching? And then what is life coaching and then how you use it to help people? But we start with like, how did you get into life coaching?
Well, I actually just fell into life coaching. This is really something just new to me or whatever, but people used to always come to me for advice. And even in like the fields that I worked in the workforce, in the corporate world, people would always come to me with their problems or whatever. So I told myself, I said, why not become a life coach or whatever? So I just started it. Now, I wouldn't say that I am actually certified. Like I said, I'm in the beginning stages of everything. I'm trying to do my own certified program. But life coaching, you pretty much just, you know, guiding people and pretty much just listening to people's problems. That's really what it is. And just empathizing. Because most of the time, people just need a listening ear, really. And they already have the answer to their questions, I've noticed. But the job of the life coach is just to guide them to the answer that they, you know, they already have or whatever. And just being understanding and compassionate. But like I said, I'm new to it. But I mean, I'm enjoying it so far.
Okay.
Be true to it.
Right. But also, I'm glad you said it like that, because you made me think about how some people would construe life coaching with motivational speaking. And so,
yeah,
if you're, because it's literally two different things. And you just said you're helping to guide people to their goals rather than just trying to motivate them.
Right. Right. And it's actually a combination of both, you know. But like I said, it's mostly you're just listening to their problems and you're trying to guide them. I don't claim to be a licensed professional counselor, but I did take classes leading up to that point. I didn't finish the degree, but I do know, you know, the skills and the technique that I've learned while I was in the program. But I do have the gift of counsel. So, you know, I use that into my life coaching program that I have. So.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I it's funny. I often say life coaching is essentially being a good friend to somebody.
Yeah.
Essentially. There's a couple other things, but if you know how to be a good friend, you can be a good life coach. And if you got good friends, you don't need a life coach. But it's amazing how many people don't have good friends.
Yeah. I agree.
Look at that.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
Yeah, but it's important though for people to really understand the difference and really be wise when they're choosing life coaches, or be wise when going into the field of life coaching, because like you're saying, you're helping people through their problems, and when I initially started to learn about life coaching, it was in the capacity of this is synonymous with motivational speaking, until like I really start to get down and learn and study the information. And then you see, it's like, okay, no, you got to, it's like, it's closer to counseling than it is to motivational speaking.
It is.
So people need to understand
right. What is it? Life coaches help you with the present moving forward. If I got to go into your past for anything, that's a therapist. That's a counselor. Go talk to a professional. If it's something that happened to you before, go talk to whatever. If it's something you want to happen moving forward, I'm your guy.
Yeah, I always encourage people, you know, sometimes you have to go see a professional, you know, sometimes your issues are that deeply rooted that you have to go to a professional for help. So I always encourage people to do that. And it's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people think it's something wrong with getting like mental health counseling, but I don't see anything wrong with it. You experience so much on a daily basis. Sometimes it's needed, you know. You got to be able to, you know, get that stuff out of you. You can't hold it in, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You hear what she just said, Joe?
I'm listening.
You got to get that stuff out of you, man. Go get help. Hey, she said it, bro. She said
I'm
it.
Listening. I'm listening.
But crazy.
See, he crazy because he hear what he want to hear. Maybe you've been sniffing too many of them vinegar pills.
Man, what these is equate aspirins. What is we talking about?
Vinegar pill. That's why I don't never buy nothing from Equate.
All right, Joe. This is about her, not me and my aspirin.
This boy crazy, man. All right, so I remember getting a call and she's like, I wanna discuss this book I'm about to write. I'm like, you know me, I get excited. Okay, you're about to write a book. Let's talk about it. So we had a conversation about her wanting to write a book. And she was asking me for my thoughts and my advice on writing books. And but that was about an hour and a half conversation, just trying to be real about it. Now, I've had plenty of conversations with people about them wanting to write books. And I would say out of all the people that I've talked to like that, maybe 5 to 10%, maybe 15 actually go on to produce the book.
Mm-hmm.
So she's within this this range of people who actually produced the book, The Remedy for Life's Journey, a Guide to a Prosperous Life. It's her first book. So, Pat, you clap your hands right now because she published her first. Clap your hands,
yes,
Pat.
Boss.
There you go.
Yes, boss.
There you go. She published her first book. So, first of all, no, congratulations on publishing your first book, because that's a feat. But definitely want to know about the book. Why did you write the book? And tell us a little bit about the book as well.
Okay. I'll start back, let me see, like 10 years ago, God had told me that I needed to write a book, and he gave me the name. All I knew is that the book name was going to be The Remedy. I didn't know that it was going to be The Remedy for Life's Journey. All he gave me was The Remedy. So I had to go through 10 years of experience, you know, life issues, challenges, you know, hardships and all of that. So I needed, because initially when, you know, I was given the idea to write the book, I tried to write it right after I was given that thought, but I couldn't write it because I didn't have the experience. I needed the experience for the content. So, you know, like I said, I had to go through years of, you know, making mistakes, experiencing different things in life. And that's pretty much what led me to writing the book. I actually started writing this book in 2020. I knew that I had to write this book by the end of 2020. It had to be written. And initially when I started to write the book, I was working, but I left my job and I had to leave my job because that was the only way that I was going to write the book. So when I say that this book is God ordained, I know it serves a purpose. I know it's going to help somebody because I had to sacrifice a lot to write the book. So that's really what led me to writing it. And I was also in a hostile work environment. So what I experienced on that job helped me write the book. So that's how I initially wrote it. And then, you know, after writing it, I reached out to you for information. And, you know, you gave me all of the information I needed. And I published it. And here we are today.
That's what's up. We'll give you some more hand claps for that.
Absolutely.
Right.
That, and that's cool, because I connect with that on a couple levels, because I had to leave the job I had with the state. This was after I left. I left Department of Health to go to Department of Revenue, and I had to leave that job to start a business. And so when you say I had to leave a job to write to do what you wanted to do, like, that resonates. And that's a tremendous sacrifice, because you really are stepping out there. Like, you don't, you know, so definitely snap clap for that. Definitely snap clap, Joe, yeah. Not regular clap, snap clap.
Yeah.
Snap clap for that. That's huge. But now I'm gonna get a little bit petty. What job was a hostile work environment? Is it the job
I'm not gonna say the name, but it was horrible. I can say that while I was going through what I was going through on the job, it was one of the worst experiences, one of the worst jobs of my life. But looking at it in hindsight, I needed that. I needed that experience because it pushed me into my purpose. So, you know, all things work for the good. So, you know, I count it all joy, even though I went through a lot of stuff, a lot of injustices, a lot of mistreatment. So I count it all joy. So
that job, if it was the job that I have a horrible experience of, then even more power to you. And if you went somewhere, you experienced something that was worse than that, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, look, I work for the state too. I ran away.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, I tried to get out of there, like finding another job, but I couldn't find another job. So I had to. It was like I was forced, you know, to leave or whatever. So.
But that's also one of those situations where it's not for you to find another job. It's for you to go to what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, I left the whole state. I'm in North Carolina now. I ain't even in Florida no more. I was like, yo, I'm out. I almost left the whole Southeast. So, I definitely, when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I feel that.
I feel that in my soul.
So yeah. So I've gone through the book. Part one, the foundation, solid as a rock. Help us understand. You don't got to give away all the book.
Okay.
But help us understand what's important about the part one being the foundation, and you know, with the tag of it, solid as a rock.
Right. So part one, it pretty much makes you examine yourself so you can see where you are. And it helps you to identify, you know, where you are and the issues that you may have. So I also talk about like those intangible things that you have to have. You know, some of the things that I talk about is having peace and joy and that type of stuff, because those things are needed regardless of if people feel that way or not, because you can have all the money in the world and you can still be unhappy. So it's those intangible things that, you know, I talked about in the part one, in section one of that book.
Okay. Now that's, but so just a little further, and not necessarily within the book, but just overall with the thought process of what you're saying. From your experience in counseling and things, you think a self-examination should be the foundation of somebody trying to heal themselves and move forward.
You got to confront your issues. You have to. You know, you can't. You're not gonna ever conquer anything if you don't face it. You know, you got to face it.
Even if it's you.
Even if it's you, you got to look at yourself and, you know, tell the truth about yourself. You know, a lot of times we want to point the finger at other people, but you know, right. We gotta see where we played a part in our dysfunction, so to speak, sometimes.
You see how she cut you off there, Joe, and corrected you? I heard you right when you was talking about, you hear that, Pat? She was like, sometimes we like to point the finger at other people. I like that. See, she on her stuff, man.
Hey.
So how would somebody like Joe? I'm gonna leave that
one alone because the timing was great.
How would somebody like Joe go about addressing his own issues of wanting to point out the flaws in other people? What steps would you advise him to get over this problem he has of thinking less of himself because other people around him are accomplishing so much that he's not accomplishing?
Well, first of all, you have to believe in yourself. You can't. A lot of times we try to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We can't compare ourselves to other people, mm-hmm. because your walk is not my walk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What I got on my plate, you can't handle what I got on my plate, and vice versa. So it's never good to, you know, look at somebody else and, you know, want to compare your life against, you know, towards theirs or whatever. So that's the first thing. Don't compare yourself to people and be true to yourself, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But because you've figured some things out on the way to be true to yourself. How does one become true to themselves, especially like if I'm coming from this mindset of I'm less than? So how does a person really get to the point where they're true to themselves if they're so used to thinking negative about themselves?
So you would pretty much have to build yourself up, you know, positive affirmations, you know, being around people that are positive, you know what I'm saying, to reinforce that, you know, that same, you know, those same affirmations within you. So it's about the people that you're connected to as well. So it's really about just building yourself up. You know, you got to be your own cheerleader sometimes, because a lot of times people are not going to encourage you. And that's one of the issues that I, you know, struggle with. A lot of people didn't encourage me. So I had to learn how to encourage myself and, you know, tell myself that I can do, you know, whatever I put my mind to.
True.
Absolutely.
It's an internal thing, but it's not necessarily a single person effort.
Right.
Now, that's real. That's real. You hear that, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, you got to believe in yourself, Joe. That's what she's saying. And I agree with her. You know, I've been telling them that for years. Maybe if it comes from an expert, a published author, he'll listen, you know. But she's dropping jewels right now.
I'm going to listen now. I'm going to listen right now, right now. All right. All right. Now, so, okay, moving forward with your book, well, before I ask this particular question, how has your book been received and reviewed by those who've had the chance to read it?
I've actually been getting a lot of good feedback. A lot of people have been sending me messages telling me how the book resonates with them and, you know, how uplifting and encouraging it is. So I've been getting a lot of, you know, positive feedback so far. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So do you have any ideas or even plans in place to use your book to prepare you to other platforms? So, like, are you going to use it in mentoring and life coaching? Do you want to use it to start podcasting, to start speaking, other things like that with the book?
Yeah, I definitely want to utilize it within mentoring and life coaching, speaking engagements and the podcast. So I want to, dab into all of that.
Okay. Okay.
You hear that? Some of those tricks are working.
You hear that, dabbing into that pod? You know, that's us right there.
Yeah, you want to dive into it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
You're just going to say it. You're just going to say it right here. Highlight us.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah. Yeah. But now this, but you've created something. This is a good book. It's a helpful book. It's giving people information that they can use, not necessarily like fluff, just trying to make people feel good. And you can tell you're coming from that realistic real world, more of a counseling aspect rather than, hey, I'm gonna talk all intensely with the good music behind me and make you feel good. And while you listen to this, you're feeling good. And once you're not listening to this no more, you're not feeling good no more. But it's practical stuff. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I had a problem with just the way people were being counseled or helped, because I didn't see practical steps being given to people, like actual things people can use rather than just feeling good. So I'm happy that you are delivering your information in the way that you are delivering.
Right. Yeah. And I noticed that too. Like, I come from a spiritual standpoint with the book. And so I've noticed that, like, sometimes, you know, going to church really don't prepare you. Sometimes a lot of churches don't, honestly, they don't prepare you for real life, the things that you're going to have to face. They don't, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to tell you all of the fluff. Oh, you finna get all this money. God finna bless you. But no, you have to put in work. You know what I'm saying? So I just tried to come from a realistic standpoint, you know, and from a genuine and sincere standpoint.
Absolutely. That right there is a refreshing. It's a breath of fresh air, because coming from a religious standpoint, it's, you know, wait around for God to happen. And we see that a lot, especially in our community, like, well, God gonna fix it. No, God's giving you the tools to help you fix it.
Exactly.
Going back to, like, what you said earlier, you recognize the God within you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Absolutely. And right. why don't you think more people think about that? Because we do hear people saying a lot that I come from. A lot of the people that encircle me are heavily religious in church. They go to church a lot, and they regularly talk about some of the things they're not getting from church. Why do you think more people don't step out to kind of fill those gaps the way you did with this book?
A lot of people are religious, but religion is not what you need. You need a personal relationship with God. And, you know, that personal relationship, it makes you examine you. You know what I'm saying? And because a lot of people, they look to their leader to do all of the work for them. No, you have to do your own work, you know? So, yeah, feel like the church don't prepare people. Like, they don't prepare people with real life issues. And why they don't, I don't know, but they don't. I notice.
So, and this is a thought that just popped in my head. Have you ever thought about approaching, like, youth ministries and, like, different aspects of the church with your book and saying, hey, can we get this in? Because it's going to help, like, with the self-examination of the people.
Yes, I actually did think about that. So, yeah.
Okay. Coming to a church near you.
That's right.
And just quick, because we're going to let you do it, but it's on Amazon.com right now. Go get your copy. It's on Amazon.com right now. Go get your copy. This is how you spell her name correctly. So, yeah.
Nah, that's what's up. I had spelled wrong. Thank you for that.
I know you did, because you're not cool like me. You're not cool.
I'm not cool. You know, I won't even argue with you on that. I ain't never been cool ever.
See, that's why you need to read this book. So you would therefore
that make me cool, or would that make me be okay with not being cool?
It'll make you cool because you're okay with not being somebody else's standard for cool.
Uh-huh.
Just roll with it. Just roll with it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I'm from Tallahassee. I've published the book. Pat's from Tallahassee. He's published the book. You're from Tallahassee. You published the book.
I thought she was from Havana.
Oh, my bad. I meant that was my fault. I forgot to send you the correct thing. That was my fault. I was reading wrong. I don't know what I saw. She sent me the email back. I ain't from Havana. I'm telling you. My fault. I forgot to send you the update. I don't know what I saw. That's my fault. I'll take that.
I'm not going to edit this out either, because it's you admitting that you made a mistake.
I did. I messed up. Look, my eyes deceived me. Okay. But
you wasn't working with God. That's what happened. You let them demons get into you. They tried to besmirch the honor of a godly woman.
Because that was a good one. I'll give you that one, because it was good. But we're all from Tallahassee. We all went to the same high school. We grew up in similar conditions. We come from, you know, places where when we were young, we weren't thinking about doing half this stuff. Like, I can't recall meeting somebody that I knew actually published a book until I maybe graduated from college. So to think that I can be from Tallahassee, from Rickards High School, and publish a book was never a thought of mine or a lot of people that we encounter. So knowing that you come from an environment to where just being the like monotonous and just going to work and go home, go to school, go to work, go home. Not necessarily seeing a good number of people or too many people go outside of that and become successful and do things. Like, how does it feel to know that you were able to do some things as an adult that you couldn't even imagine doing as a child?
Oh, it feels good. Like, I'm proud of myself, and I feel fulfilled that, you know, that I was able to do something like that. So I'm proud of myself.
That's what's up. Like, because I know you had to celebrate, like, especially when you knew this book was coming and when you finally got it in your hands, I had to do a little celebration.
Yep, I did. Hey.
So when you do the podcast, are you going to be going through, if you were to do a podcast, quote unquote, wink, wink, wink with both eyes, what would your podcast be on? Would this book and your journey be a part of that podcast?
Yeah, that would pretty much be what my podcast would be about, you know, helping people, you know, as they go through life's journey.
Okay.
That's a good foundation. That's what's up. Now, I mean, you know, once again, it's reaching a milestone in your own life, achieving a goal, breaking barriers, being pioneering. Because, we didn't know people was writing books. You know, growing up, we ain't think about writing books.
Wait! You got to restructure that. We knew people were writing books.
We didn't know
the people writing.
That's what I said.
We didn't know people was writing books. That makes it sound like we didn't know that there were books.
We didn't. But okay, I said the country. But you understood. We did not know. We didn't personally know anybody who was writing. But I said we didn't know.
See, you making it sound like I'm so Danielle, right? Neutral observer, right?
There you go.
Somebody say we know people was writing books, don't that make it sound like you did not know that books were a thing? Like,
well, I understood what he was trying to say.
See?
She's being nice.
Whatever projects you was from, y'all need to go back. You need to learn your lingo.
We already said that I'm not from the same project as you, because we had to, when we talked about MLMs.
That's
you
true.
You still got to be in your MLMs.
We're not going to get on that right now, but we'll come back to that.
Hold on, Danielle.
There you go.
Say it again.
How you say MLMs?
Ambulance.
See?
Oh, yeah. See, all the way.
Did I say it right?
All the way with it.
You said it right. You said it too right.
Yeah, way too right.
Now, we was playing around on the podcast last week, and we was going back and forth, like, which the better hood way to say it? Ambulance or Amalamps?
Yeah, so. And I thought we say Amalamps, but he say Ambulance. So it still got a B in it. So that means he was more city boy than country folk. But she said ambulance.
Right. She said it right.
Yeah, so, she went to college.
She's like, I ain't going down this rabbit hole with y'all.
She went somewhat. Nah, you already in. The train is on the trip. All right.
So, if you had a chance to talk to your younger self or any young person who is going through certain things in their life but wants to change their life, they want to become something. They might not have an idea what they want to become, but they know they want to become something. They just want to get started on their journey, progressing towards whatever. What advice would you give that person, that child, to help them build the courage to get started pursuing that goal?
I'll first say, I would tell them to first and foremost believe in yourself, and to silence and ignore the naysayers, because you're going to always have some people that's not going to believe in you and your vision. So, you know, just to silence the naysayers. And then once you do that, do the research, find out what it is that you like. And then once you find out what you like, get connected with people that are doing some of the things that you want to do, and count the cost, you know, to see if this is really something that you want to do, and then just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear them jewels hitting the ground.
That was a lot. Like, in the words of Bruno Mars, that's what I like.
but that's real, because it's if you don't study your craft, you don't plan it out, you're gonna be out here wishing. So
yeah, I hope, and you know what a wish is, right?
Tell us what a wish is.
I'm not, because I haven't been disruptive enough.
Yes, you have. You get a referral.
Hey Joe, you're not supposed to co-sign that, bro.
You get a referral. Forget you.
You know I'm trying to be in character, and you making me feel bad for being in character.
Yes.
All right.
So now, but that's
best. Y'all look like she over it anyway.
that's good information though to give to somebody. Practical information, like I say, it's not fluff. It's you got to take this. Like, if you want to do something, you really have to be real and put in the work and really plan it out and really study your craft if you want to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So we're down to our final question.
Final question.
And this is Patrick's question. This is
Joseph's question.
This is a question we ask pretty much everybody. They get this question. And Pat, and make him feel good to ask this question. This is how he
feels so bad.
This is how he feels like he's really helpful. So ask the question, Patrick. I used to get
a drum roll. That's a raggedy drum. That's a Rickards drum. Shot fired.
You better. When you in the band? Never mind.
I wasn't in no band. I was in ROTC. Get it right. It's a that's different kind of nerd. All right. No band nerd. I was an ROTC geek. So, if you were... Were you in band or ROTC, then?
Nope, I was in neither.
Oh, so she like, yeah, y'all really was. All right. So, back to the question. So, if you were the all-knowing, all-powerful ruler of Zamunda, of Wakanda, of Black America, what would you change And what was your message to the POV?
Well, I guess I would change the way, or attempt to change the way, Black America is viewed. You know, we're mostly viewed as less than or inferior to, you know, other races. So I would change the way we're viewed, but the message to the people would be for them to make the change within before you try to point the finger at somebody else. Because I've noticed that in the Black community, we're very divided as a people. I don't know why it's so hard for us to come together and unite. But I would first say that we have to make the change within us before we can expect to see the change around us.
Yeah. Yeah. You better get that change. Michael Jackson said that in that Man in the Mirror song.
I'm talking to the man in the mirror. Barf.
Nah, that's what's up.
And also, like in the Outkast song where he said, I like the way you move.
Yeah. You are right, Patrick. You are
correct. Dr. Tip would have got it. Anyways, I think that's the first time we've gotten that answer.
I know. That's what's so great about the question is we keep getting different answers. So, all right. I see this interview. I hear you dropping jewels. I'm like, okay. I like Miss Danielle Harris. I want to make sure I get this book, but I also want to maybe bring her on my podcast or connect with her. So how do people find you? How do people connect with you and be able to buy your books and stuff?
You can purchase my book through Amazon, or you can also go to my website. It's www.modestd.net. That's modestd.net. And you can connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. My Facebook and Instagram name is modestd1. So you can connect with me on both platforms.
Yeah. And say the website one more time.
It's modestd.net. That's modestd.net.
Yeah. And get your copy of the book. Get your copy of the book. Get your copy. That's what's up. So, y'all, make sure you support everybody who's viewing this. Like, hit that like button. Make sure you hit that like button. Drop a comment. Subscribe to this channel and make sure you share this with a friend, because somebody can use this information, and you know somebody can use this information, so make sure you share it with a friend. So Danielle, appreciate you coming by, appreciate you stopping by the Freedom Train to Rock with us and give us this information and talk about your book and allowing us to learn more about you.
Yes, thank y'all for having me. I truly enjoyed myself, so I feel honored that y'all had me on your show, so I appreciate that.
You see what I do, Joe? Because she's talking about me right now. She's not talking about you.
So, hey, look, that's why you want him.
It was an honor for me to give you the honor of being honored by me. I appreciate you.
Hey, I honor that. Yeah. So y'all make sure you all support Danielle and everything that she got going on, and make sure you be on the lookout for everything that she got coming for you, coming to you. And make sure you keep supporting us, the Freedom Train Podcast Series. We appreciate everybody who's been rocking with us since 2014. It's 2021, and we still here. And we ain't going nowhere no time soon.
Hey, and let me say this. We know that we got a lot of listeners on the podcast. And that's cool. We've been doing podcasts for a long time, 6 years, 7 years, something like that. I don't know. I'm not good at math, even though I teach math. None of my students are going to watch this. So this is what we need from you podcast listeners that are listening to the end. And we might even put some in the beginning. We need y'all to show the same type of love to our YouTube channel. Because we got a YouTube channel now. We had a channel for a minute now, but we ain't really been promoting it. But now Joe got me doing all this visualization stuff. I'm in front of the camera.
Yeah, YouTube.
I be in my pajamas eating popcorn while we doing the interviews. I can't do that no more. So if I got to do this, y'all can at least go to the YouTube and check us out. So go to the YouTube channel. Show us some love, man. We got thousands of people listening in on the podcast. Let's try to get these people. Some of y'all come over and show us some love on YouTube, please.
Right, right. So you can actually see what Dr. Tip actually looks like. So that is. So with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. And definitely a pleasure to have Danielle Harris on our podcast today. And hey, we're going to continue to support you and everything that you got going on in the future. So we'll see y'all later. Two fingers in the air. We up out of here.